Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good to be with you. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. 118 to 103, the final tonight in the NBA, the Thunder beating the Timberwolves. Not to be outdone, there was also a hockey game, which was also not that contentious, as Florida shut out the Hurricanes 5-0. Florida scored 5 goals in each of the 2 games. Carolina put up 2 in the first one and unable to net any tonight. And this series has not even been played in Florida yet. So not looking great for the Hurricanes at this point. We've got tomorrow then, game number 2 in the series between Edmonton and Dallas. And currently in that series, Dallas leading 1-0. So we've got the alternating series, the rotating series. Same series play in the NBA right now and the NHL the next night. And in the series we saw tonight, the team that won game 1 also won game 2. And it looks kind of bleak. Florida going home, so we'll see what Carolina can do. Don't know if the home ice advantage is as much as the home court advantage. Maybe. I still think the Timberwolves are going to get at least one in Minnesota. This may, however, be a 5-game series the way that things are going. I didn't feel like the Timberwolves needed to win this game to have a shot to still be alive in the series. I don't know. Still on the road. You know, series don't start. They certainly are. You win at home a couple times. You go on the road once, win. You stole your one. You come back, you win. That could be done. But I would have liked a tighter game. I would have liked to see Minnesota be more competitive and look like they belong and look like they could respond from game 1 and also not seem to be so easily figured out. Now, they got to make their shots. They took 39 threes this time and only made 11. So, three-point percentage was 28.2 tonight. In game 1, it was not great either. It was 29.4. So, if you're shooting 29% from 3 and you're taking a lot of them, you're going to lose. That is how the math is going to add up for you. So Florida up 2-0 and Oklahoma City up 2-0. 888-710-4476. Robert is in North Carolina. Robert.
Good morning, my hero, or close to morning, whatever. I can't quit you, man.
I don't want to be quit on. Don't quit me.
Yeah, well, I'm not quitting on the Canes, but I hear that brooms are selling out in South Florida. That's what the word on the street is.
Yeah, just because they're at home doesn't mean they're going to win, obviously, but you come back, they're going to be pretty charged up to not want to pack their bags again.
Yeah, I love all sports, but home ice isn't as powerful as home court. It's just something about having bulletproof leg sand between you and the goons in the stands. It helps you play better, and the fact that you can whip most of the people who are threatening you, which most of the people in the NBA can too. But, you know, I want to say something. I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to give out winners, but I think it's looking bleak for the Timberwolves and maybe for the Knicks, which actually for storyline, the Knicks and the Timberwolves would have been the better one, right? Just ask Stephen A., you know.
But, not only did they have that trade, but they have the history with Thibodeau. It would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. But it's not going to happen. It'd been like, you're not old enough to remember the NFL, which rarely makes mistakes, actually, in marketing. While they were wrestling with the AFL, this is too boring. It's not quite as exciting as effective field goal percentage. But they had a playoff bowl for a couple of years, and like Cleveland was losing to Dallas back then, you know. And whoever Green Bay was thrashing would play them. And nobody would watch. I mean, on TV, in the stands at all. And, you know, maybe we can have a playoff bowl type series between the Knicks and the Timberwolves. So Stephen A. wouldn't have to spend his money on going to Cosmel early, which I'm sure he doesn't go there because it's too cheap for him. Anyway, I love you, man. You're doing a great job. And just stick with coaching soccer.
Yeah, I'm not saying, Robert, thanks for the call. I think I did all right teaching these guys. I had to do the batting stance, and I think I did all right teaching them, but I just needed to be a warm body tonight. You know, I figured I'm asked to be a warm body. There were four different stations, so the two coaches, and then they pulled some dads in. And I've asked for dad's assistance when coaching. I just need a warm body. I'm doing this. Just give me a warm body, and I'll get him. As long as I didn't do anything too stupid. Like, actually, the barrel of the bat is the thing you do hold. And then the little tiny part is where you hit the ball. Your feet should actually be crisscross when you're standing. As long as I didn't do anything totally harmful, I feel like I did all right as a substitute baseball coach tonight for the Pirates. So my son got a free hat. And one of his buddies, I felt bad. You know, when you do the Little League, you get the hat. One of my buddies, his kids, last year they were on the A's. So that's shameful. But then this year, they're back on the A's again. So he's got two hats. He gets a new hat. It's the same hat. And it's of the A's. Shame. Shame, shame. Kid, I'll tell you, the little kid, sharp dress when he puts that hat on. That fits him well. That hat fits him well, the little guy. Johnny is in Atlanta. Johnny.
What's going on, Bart? The one name I can say, everything was great, but one name I can say has got to be Julius Randle. Randle got ran out of L.A., said he wasn't good.
That's a good ran one. That's a good York. One.
Yeah, ran out of New York because he wasn't showing up in playoffs. So he needed to win. He needs to win a ring this year. I don't think he'll get it, but he needs to win a ring this year just to prove it to them two teams. And then the face of the organization, of the league, he got to go to Shea because Shea is the most – he's hated and loved just like LeBron hated and loved at Jordan because – they love him, but they hate him because he gets simple foul calls and everything else. And then Anthony Edwards, I think everybody just like Anthony Edwards. He seems like just the person you just he's just a real dude. I don't think nobody don't like Anthony Edwards, but Shea, he's hated and loved at the same time.
There might be some people that aren't thrilled with Anthony Edwards, but
it might be. But hey, don't be surprised if I become a Pirates fan now.
I know. At least the Pirates are bad and probably won't. I'm not going to like.
Hey.
The Brewers played the Pirates tonight, actually, but it's not going to be like, oh, they're in the playoffs against each other.
Okay, you can look at it like that, but that's my take is Julius Randle and the face of the league is SGA because he's just at the tip of the iceberg right now. He got a lot more basketball to play. He's going to excite the league.
Yeah. All right. Good call, Johnny. Right. You don't want to take any more victory lap for last night? No, I'm sure we'll hear from you tomorrow, though, after Halliburton probably hits another game winner. The Bartometer is what he was referencing. We do it Thursdays at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. It is moving to Tuesdays. I failed to mention that earlier. If we're still doing it by then, because now I'm having an existential crisis about supporting anything AI after some of these new videos came out this week. Well, they're not that good. They're only 8 seconds. Yeah, okay, but the things progress, man. It's like Katie Couric and Al Roker being like, what is this internet? Yeah. I see where the dam's breaking. I see where the water's coming. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of an AI-influenced future. I'm going to turn on my TV. There's going to be a news report about something that's not even happening. Because it's going to be a fake thing, and we're all going to... Then my neighbor's going to ransack my house for my precious baseball cards. Anyway, the Bartometer tonight was who could benefit the most from a title this year. Number 8 was James Dolan, 7 Rick Carlisle, 6 Rudy Gobert, 5 Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 4 Anthony Edwards, 3 Jalen Brunson, 2 Tyrese Halliburton and Tom Thibodeau, who I still wouldn't put it past the Knicks to fire him if he gets swept. Had 5 years in Chicago, 3 years in Minnesota. We're on the fifth year in New York. Tibbs time. Tibbs time. But if he wins, every philosophy that he had about running his guys into the ground, it all pays off. Mark is in California, Mark.
What's going on?
What's good?
So my flight leaves at 12:30 today. I'm going to the game tomorrow.
You're going to the game?
Tomorrow, yeah. I bought my ticket this morning, actually.
Is this a pretty spur-of-the-moment thing here?
Well, tickets are cheap. I paid like $740 for a ticket.
That's insulting to call that cheap.
Not, but I went to game one and game three of the World Series, the Dodger World Series this year. So that sucked. Lost both those games, but yeah, I'm hoping, you know, my wife's going to Disneyland. So,
You. I mean, you're just eating all the caviar while the rest of us scrounge for ramen.
Well, the flight isn't costing us anything because we have the miles, and then the hotel, we have points. So the hotel and the airfare is costing me nothing. So literally the trip is just...
All right. Now you're back on my level a little bit.
So you know what I mean? Otherwise, I wouldn't be going. It would be way too expensive. But yeah, I mean, and guess what? I'm not really on TikTok that much. I'm just on there I'm on my friend's podcast here and there. You know what I mean? But literally, it's just like they know. This is a type of loss where, like, I woke up last night in deep sleep, and I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. Like, all on my mind is just Halliburton. And what's crazy about it is he did that choking symbol. Bart, you better win the series, bro, because if you don't, anytime you tell me you're from Indiana, I don't care if you're a grandma, I don't care if you're a child, a cop, doesn't matter, I'm doing the choking symbol. That is a emote that I will be doing forever. And guess what? The choking symbol, people forgot about it. Never really was brought up. But he did it in yesterday's game, in game one. And guess what? You're not going to do that in three or four consecutive games. And listen, Naismith,
great. Hey, I'm giving you the leash here. What does any of this have to do about TikTok?
I'm just saying, because on TikTok, it's popping up. Everyone sees. Oh, people were saying first, Bart, it was like, oh, my God, Knicks couldn't play at their pace. They got gassed out. What are you talking about? People are talking on TikTok about it. Mm. We played at their pace better than Indiana. We outpaced Indiana. We outscored them 77-61 on the floor.
For a while, and then you didn't. And then you forgot how to play basketball.
Right. But the thing is like 13 missed free throws. The play that's going to haunt me forever is Brunson takes the inbound pass. He's standing in the middle of the lane looking like, oh, what am I going to do? Basket's wide open, and he passes it to OG, and OG, and just fumbles the ball. The thing about OG is he goes non-existent at times. In the Boston series, in three games, he scored less than 10 points. The dude is just not consistent, and if next season – you're going to offer us Kevin Durant? Goodbye, OG. I'd trade OG for a bag of peanuts for Kevin Durant. Like, he is so inconsistent with his shot, dude. It's absolutely wild.
Who doesn't want to trade OG for Kevin Durant?
Well, I'm saying, in hyperbole, basically, if Giannis becomes available, right, OG and obviously Mikal Bridges are gone.
Nah, we're not taking them. That's not happening.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got one question for you. If we offered you Carl Anthony Towns for Giannis, are you taking that trade?
No. No.
Okay. Why does every trade
around Giannis be like an offer that does not match?
Well, I mean,
why does everybody downplay what Giannis is?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Who else do you want? Who else do you want from the Knicks, Bart? Who do you want? You want Jalen Brunson?
Would have to start there.
Listen, it would have to start.
What picks do the Knicks have? Let me take a look. Hey, go follow me on TikTok. I'm at Bart Winkler. Okay.
I'm following you already, Bart. You don't even know it, dude. I'm following you already.
But listen, I was hoping for another follower. All right, I gotta let you go.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Have a good flight. You also want to dance on TikTok in your free time? Mm. Yeah, every time there's a Giannis proposal, it's like, hey, why don't you, you guys interested in Giannis for Miles Turner?
You know, we'll throw in a second round pick too, just to sweeten the deal.
What was the one Simmons was talking about the other day? Evan Mobley? Well, yeah. He's young. He's straight up. Straight up? The Knicks have their 2020, I don't know what they have in 2025, but they got their 2026 first, would need that. Their 2028 is a pick swap. They gave a bunch of picks to Brooklyn. They gave all these picks to Brooklyn for Bridges.
And their first round picks are not going to be good in any way, because if they're going to be good, it's going to be at the very worst in the teens. It'll most likely be in the bottom at bottom half of the first round.
Yeah, but you can't trade first round picks back to back years.
Right.
So they could only give us a swap. No, they have nothing. There's no package they could come up with, because it's got to be young guys and picks, and not like young guys, but like the Rockets have young guys. We would need those young guys like Thompson.
Mm-hmm. It's either Houston or Oklahoma City. There's no other teams that make sense to me.
Spurs.
No, I
think Spurs have the number two pick.
They got to build a youth movement there.
No, no, no. You put Giannis next to Wemby. I mean, the season's over. Parity's dead. They're going to win 74 games. It's over.
I'll take the wager on that. Spurs versus the field. I'll take field.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will hear from those involved in this. Again, another beatdown. Minnesota, I don't think they needed to win this game necessarily, but they needed to not lose by 15 points. They lost game one by 26 points. Just trying to do some math there, top of my head. And 15 was closer. So if you chop off 11 by game three, you'll only lose by four. And then in game four, you'll win by seven. And then by 18, and then by 29, and then you'll win in six with a 40-point victory. 888-710-4476. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Our long national nightmare is over. They finally gave Shai Gilgeous-Alexander his MVP award. They handed out awards all throughout the playoffs. Found out the first and second team all defense today. I don't have that in front of me, nor did I commit it to memory, because I thought, I don't need to bring that up tonight. And then I just did, and now I am dumb. Giannis not getting a first or second team, though, really? Okay, all right. I know Rudy Gobert was second. I know Dyson Daniels was first. I'd have to go look up the rest. It's on the internet. What do you need me for? But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting the MVP trophy before the game and then putting up 31. No, that was the first game. He had 38 tonight. 38 points the day after and the day of getting his award. 8 assists for him, 3 boards, 3 steals. Pretty good night overall for SGA. This portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai. The all-new, all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 9 with space for up to 7, range for miles, only from Hyundai. So SGA pretty excited, as you would expect. A lot of energy, and now they take a 2-0 lead heading into Minnesota. That game will be Saturday night. You know what? I could go to that game. 6-hour drive. I think my Saturday's pretty open. There might be a birthday party in there. I think we got a birthday party. Hit the road. Go watch some Timberwolves Thunder for no reason other than to say I did. Not bad. You know, what's a 5.5-hour drive for me between friends? So the Thunder get the victory. Mark Daigneault, who is not, and Chris Finch, neither of those guys were on the Bartometer list tonight. But Daigneault here has had a pretty good track record in the playoffs, a good record. Did not get to the conference finals last year, but kind of cruising along here, at least in the first round. Went to 7 against the Nuggets. He's got a team that scored 114 the other night. He's got a team that scored 118 tonight. Really a lot of that through three guys. Again, SGA with 38, Jalen 26, Chet 22. But Daigneault happy with what he saw from the offense.
Felt like we were very confident and, you know, getting to good spots on the floor, understanding, you know, a continued understanding of how to attack this team. And then we did it again in the fourth. You know, they threw different stuff at us. They were pretty aggressive on the ball. I thought our spacing and attacks were very good. We shot the right shots, made the right passes. So we can learn from it. It's a different look, again, that we can improve from. But I thought, by and large, offensively, we did a good job tonight.
General Manager Sam Presti can feel pretty good about his ability to acquire talent. And, yeah, some of the guys that he drafted were drafted relatively high. But that doesn't mean they're going to be good. But he had drafted Kevin Durant. He had drafted James Harden. He had drafted Russell Westbrook. All three of those guys went on to win MVPs, two with the Thunder and Harden with the Rockets. SGA was not a draft pick of his, but he traded Paul George for a bunch of picks, but he also wanted this young player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he gets to see him now be the fourth MVP that he has had a hand in acquiring. Mark Daigneault is the coach, and, you know, if I got a player that wins MVP, I got to feel pretty good about that for me, but also for the player. Daigneault talked about what it meant to see him receive that trophy.
Special moment, you know, to share with the fans. I mean, the fans that are here tonight, those are like iconic pictures in history of the league, and the fans get to enjoy that and acknowledge him. And it's an appropriate time to say that in these two games, as well as the rest of the games, but our fans were outstanding, put the wind at our back in these games, and we're going to continue to need them.
One of those players in that trade, a draft pick, turned into Jalen Williams, who had 19 points in game one, 26 in this game. And he did when Minnesota, when it looked like there could be a little bit of an avenue, down 10 late, when it looked like there could be an avenue, Williams popped a pretty big three, Daigneault on his forward.
He was really aggressive. He was efficient. I thought he chose the right spots to get to his spots and pull up, and chose the right spots to attack the basket, found good passes. I thought his floor game was very good, and he was very good again defensively. So a great night out of him, obviously.
On the other side of that is Chris Finch, who has a team now that is down 0-2, and they have to go back to Minnesota. They get to go back to Minnesota. That's exciting, but they need to win. They got to win. If you're them, you think you got to win both. I think they'll win at least one. If they win at least one, that's going to be a 3-1 deficit. They're going back to Oklahoma City. Game five, it's over. That's how this one feels like it is going. And the same thing happened in this game, essentially, that happened in game one. Game one, the Timberwolves actually had a 4-point lead. And then the Thunder, who have been doing this against teams all year, blitzing them, attacking them, having huge. It's a quarter they pride themselves on. In the first game, they outscored the Timberwolves 32-18, which evaporated that 4-point lead and then some. Tonight, they were down going into halftime 8, but still within striking distance. And then the Thunder had a 35-21 third quarter. Finch talked about what happened.
We only had 6 turnovers at halftime. We had a few more in the third quarter. You know, missed some shots. You know, didn't finish at the basket, and then led to a bunch of stuff in early attack mode for them.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Kent is in Maine. Hello, Kent.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, so I liked your Bartometer rankings earlier. That was a good list. I will say that I do agree with the individual who called earlier to maybe add Julius Randle to the list.
Yeah, probably a good one.
Yeah, and, you know, I really feel that tonight's game was a big one for him, and I also think for the Timberwolves, I kind of disagree with you. I think tonight was a big one for them to win, to kind of keep the series going, and I really feel he was a big part of that, and I don't know, I think it's really disappointing when you're one of your bigger stars is matching up with Hartenstein on the other end as far as stats are concerned. It was kind of tough to see that, and I don't see where Oklahoma City is going to give up this 2-0 lead that they already have. But I did want to get kind of your thoughts on that a little bit, what you thought with Julius Randle's play. But also really quick, I did hear that you were kind of going to talk about Colorado Rockies at some point, and just wanted to kind of bring up something that I heard today that I think kind of sums up, you know, Colorado Rockies right now. I had heard that apparently somebody has a lawsuit against the club right now because a ball went into the stands and hit the individual, and one of their arguments is the Rockies are playing so bad that nobody's watching the game, so that's why people are getting hit by balls. So it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, there's something to that.
It's pretty bad when somebody's making an argument like that in a lawsuit if you're playing that bad. So,
yeah, I might have a little bit more on that for you coming up, because there's a former MLB player that, Ken, thanks for the call, that is suing. I think they're suing the, let me look, it might be the Reds. Ruff.
It is the Reds. Yeah, Darren Ruff.
Suing the Reds. Now, before I get into that story a little later, Darren Ruff was with the Milwaukee Brewers at the time.
Former Met, too.
So, and I think Philly? Darren Ruff?
Those are the only three I know off the top of my head.
Well, he was a Yankee for 30 seconds.
How?
What do you mean, how?
What was he there for 30 seconds for?
Well, basically, he was there for like a week. They played him for a day. They realized he sucked. They cut him.
Yeah, it was one of those quick DFA yeah. tryout things.
They picked him up. They put him in the lineup. They realized, ooh, this isn't going to work, and they got rid of him.
Was this like spring training?
No, this was last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah, this might have been his last at-bats in Major League Baseball. I'd have to look at his stats.
Darren Ruff?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, he was brutal the last couple of years. When the Mets got him from the Pirates, he was unplayable.
I'm not seeing that on Baseball Reference or Wikipedia. Are you sure we're talking about Darren Ruff?
I'm almost positive. Maybe I could be wrong. Maybe
no.
It was somebody other.
No, Marco, you're right, because I remember it. We can't both be hit with the Mandela effect right now.
It's possible. I have to look it up.
I mean, I don't know how much time we need to spend on was Darren Ruff ever a Yankee.
I think we don't progress the show until we find out.
Just give me 5 more seconds.
I seem to be wrong. I don't see it here.
The Yankees once traded for Danger Russ, as in Russell Wilson. From the Rangers for cash consideration.
Darren Ruff played for the Yankees in the 2022 season.
I could have swore they had him for a DH for one day. I really did believe that. But maybe I'm thinking of
somebody
else.
Apparently, he hit 2 home runs against the Rays.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at everyone's favorite search engine, which I will not name because they don't sponsor us.
You can mention a search engine.
I refuse. We're not sponsored. No free plug.
Give me one second. Are we all Google racing? Was Darren...
You know, I don't see it in his official stats, but I see it in the AI. So what's better? What's more important?
Darren Ruff was... I think he was never a Yankee.
I'm confused by this. I really am, because I thought I remembered it. And his official stats do not say Yankees. But if you Google it,
What are you Googling?
Darren Ruff, Yankees.
You got to get yourself out of this. You're the one that barged in here.
What do you want from me? I thought I remembered it. I could have been wrong, and it said something about hitting a home run.
I don't see anything here.
Played for the Yankees April 23rd and May 18th, 2022. He also hit a solo home run for the Yankees on July 15th in 2022. But what? His official stats do not say this.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
I think AI just might actually have this wrong because when I'm looking at the image, it's him in a Met jersey.
Yeah, AI is just wrong is basically what it comes down to.
What is the box score? What is the day?
April 23rd and May 18th of 2022 and July 15th, 2022. But Yankees. if you look at his official stats, that is incorrect.
April 23rd, 2022?
Yep.
They say he hit a home run?
Yes. Oh, no. Those are days that he played for the Yankees. He hit a home run on July 15th.
July 15th?
Okay. 2022.
July 15th, 2022.
This is so weird.
This is why AI should not take over the world. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, the videos are getting pretty intense. The only person to hit a home run in that second game against the Red Sox was Giancarlo Stanton. Darren Ruff, I am proclaiming right now that Darren Ruff has never. Don't one of you guys? You're a producer, Carlos. Don't you have Darren Ruff's number on somewhere?
Yeah, you're a producer. Produce something.
Yeah. All right. Let me produce his number out of thin air.
Hold on, Darren Ruff.
MLB can't even get a blue book to us.
Phone number, Darren Ruff phone number. It's not coming up. All right. Are we done?
I'm just upset that both Marco and I remember him as a Yankee.
There's got to be another Met that played that was terrible, that was in the trade, that was a right-handed bat that played for the Yankees for a week a couple years ago. There's got to be another name, but I thought it was Darren Ruff.
Okay, hold on. I know, but hold on. He's a right-handed bat that was traded from the Mets to the Yankees?
No. The Yankees picked him up, DFA'd. He was a Giant, which is why Darren Ruff, I remember as a Giant, played well there, was bad for the Mets, went to maybe the A's. I don't know. He went somewhere, and the Yankees picked him up for a week and then pulled the plug. He was right-handed because they were facing a lefty, and the joke was any right-handed bat off the street, he batted cleanup, and then they cut him within a week.
Okay. Right-handed.
So now AI is going to be able to spit that out. They can't even figure out who the hell Darren Ruff is. They're going to tell me who that is.
I said, who is someone that was bad for the Mets? Yankees got him for about a week. He was terrible, right-handed. They said, based on the available information and the specific criteria you provided, one player who comes close to fitting your description is David Justice.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. Very, very close to that description.
Other possibilities are Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Ricky Ledee.
Leday.
Yeah.
He's left-handed too, by the way.
So I'm very fearful of AI from these videos, but anytime you ask it a question, it's very stupid, and that comforts me. All right. We have our power rankings coming up.
You don't know that.
888-710-4ISN. Here's an update, Marco Belletti.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst and Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It's time for our Power Rankings. We give you the worst team in the league and then our five best. The worst team in the league is the Colorado Rockies.
You suck.
They got swept, losing on Thursday 2-0 to the Phillies, so they are now 8-42. This is the worst 50-game start in MLB's modern era, which goes back to 1901. You have to go back to the 1895 Louisville Colonels that started 7-43. They're on pace to lose 136 games, which would pass the 1899 Cleveland Spiders for most losses by an MLB team at 134. Last year, the White Sox set the modern era record with 121. Rockies should breeze by that. So Rockies, worst team in the league for me, I'd have to assume. For you, unless you want to get cute with it,
No, can't get cute on this one. It's definitely the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
You mentioned what they're on pace for in terms of losses. They'll blow out the White Sox record, which was just last year. But they're also on pace for a minus 515 run differential. That'd be the worst mark in history. Not by 10, not by 20, but by 100 runs. They're getting smoked in every facet of the game. They have the worst pitching in the league. They have the worst offense in the league. Their ownership doesn't give a crap. And they're getting sued for bad baseball. Now, I know you're going to dig into this lawsuit a little bit more, but it's pretty bad. Although, I will say, it wasn't this season what happened to this guy. This was back in 2023 where he got hit by a foul ball, so now he's going to sue the Rockies. But everything is awful in Colorado with baseball, so the Rockies, for me, also the worst team.
You suck!
All right, our five best. We'll start at the top.
Number one.
Now, the team with the best record in the league is the Tigers at 33-18. And I said if the Tigers have the best record in the league by next week, I'll put them at number one, but I don't like how certain Detroit radio personalities have been treating me, so I'm going to put the Dodgers at one. At number two.
Number two.
Let's put the Yankees. They've won four in a row and secured my Survivor Pool entry for the week already.
Good for you.
Yep. They swept the Rangers. I was locked in on that one. Very happy. And they did such a good job against the Mets that Mets fans are wondering if Juan Soto is even happy. So that's got to count for something. Number three. Oh, I'm kind of mad. Kind of mad at this team, too, the Phillies, because they lost a series of the Mets in April and said the season was over. Now they got a two-game lead, but I won't punish the team for their fans. That would be immature of me. Number four.
Number four.
Yeah, I don't know. How about the Cubs? Number five?
Number five.
Maybe the Padres. That's fine. Yep. So Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Cubs, and Padres. And if Detroit wants to be nicer to me, they can have the number one team next week. Okay? Sounds good.
Works for me. I'll also start at number one.
Number one.
I actually am going to put the Twa Tigers there, despite the jerks that they call radio personalities. First time since 2006, Tigers got the best record in 50 games. They're on pace for 105 wins. I think they're going to wind up with more like 90, 95, which is still pretty good. Top of the line defense, great bullpen. Thank God they didn't trade Tarek Skubal last year. Remember that? It looked like he was going to be on the way out. They turned things around last year, and obviously he's well on pace to defend his Cy Young. Two things are a little surprising. Their most valuable player by WAR this year is Javi Baez. And, dude, they got Javi Baez in center field. That's nuts. And Gleyber Torres, who was basically escorted by the Yankees out of here, he's batting .281 with five home runs and a .794 OPS. So Detroit has got my number one spot. Spoiler alert, only AL team on my list.
Number two.
I will actually put the Philadelphia Phillies, even though their season is done. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They fought their way into first place, surpassing the Mets for the first time. Now they lost Jose Alvarado to suspension because he was taking PEDs.
No, not in my league.
But they got Jordan Romano. Eight scoreless outings, including four saves and a couple of holds. He should be the new closer for Philadelphia, so he'll be my Phillies will be number two for me.
Number three.
The nine Mets, totally cold offense, led to the Mets' worst week of the season. They lost Rose Series against the Yankees and the Red Sox, so obviously they find themselves looking up against Philadelphia. Soto's slow start continues, and Pete Alonso, who was my MVP in the first quarter season, well, he's had a .414 OPS, three walks, and 24 strikeouts over the last 14 games. So he is ice cold. My next team.
Number four.
That'll be my Chicago Cubs. Just like Bart, I have him in the fourth spot. Dansby Swanson, since the end of April when he was dropped to eighth in the lineup, he's hitting close to .400 with an OPS over 1,000. Matt Shaw's come back from the minors. Whatever he was broken and trying to work with the first time around, he fixed it in the minors. He came back and has produced against the Marlins. Matt Shaw could be their answer at third base if they need it all year. And finally, at number five.
Number five.
I will put the Dodgers here because here's a good stat. They have 18 comeback wins, which are the most in the majors. The bad part is their rotation gets absolutely rocked in the first inning, which is why they come back in the first place. Still got a bunch of injuries they got to deal with. Yes, they are loaded, but Kirby Yates went to the IL, so they got the injury bug. Maybe the trainers, you know, are going to get fired, or they got to spend some money in that department, but the Dodgers, for me, will be at number five. So number one, Tigers. Number two, Phillies. Number three, Mets. Number four, Cubs. Number five, the Dodgers.
And those are your power rankings. If I wasn't so petty with Detroit, I probably would have them at two. I'd still put the Dodgers one. But someone called me Bart Winkledink, and then another show used some of my audio of a Tigers fan, and then I wasn't very good in it. So I didn't like how I came across, and instead of blaming myself for getting a little lazy on a Friday, your words, not mine, I'm putting them not in the power rankings. So let's talk about lawsuits. Darren Ruff had a he had a rough time.
Oh, and God.
He's suing the Reds. And I'll explain why coming up next. Ruff.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.